To begin with, I'd like to do a plug here. And this afternoon, for those of you who don't know, there is a workshop. And it's the first time we've ever had a workshop that's actually being led by a reflector. So for those of you that want to find out what a reflector is from the horse's mouth instead of from mine, but it's really something that I would recommend. Now that I've released this delightful bombshell, and all of you are going to look deeply suspiciously at any of the reflectors that you know in your life, it was very cute for me to just walk outside at the break and everybody was giving me their reflector boss stories, you know? The controlling reflectors in their lives, you know, all of that stuff. Just like that, you know? Their reputation was changed overnight. Overnight, you know, everybody used to ignore them. Now it's like, is there a reflector in the room? You know, are they watching? You know, this is the great cosmic CIA. I mean, after all, you know, the guy. So I'm glad that I have been able to raise the image of the frequency of reflector I've made up for years and years and years of not telling them the truth. They'll probably hold it against me at some point, but nonetheless, what to do? I think it's time that it's why I'm doing this today. I've been thinking about this for over a year now. You know, to actually change the approach that I've had. I changed my approach to projectors a number of years ago because I realized that it was unproductive. And my approach to reflectors has been unproductive. It has not been successful. Not telling them what they really are. And, you know, I thought that I could sort of sneak them in. And didn't work. So the program made some points on that one, so we tried this way. I think it's very important to understand who they are. I think there may be a chance that it's more likely that you can turn a reflector to itself by confronting it with what has happened to it and what it's actually doing. I think for reflectors, not self-reflectors, need to understand what kind of role they're playing in the lives of the people around them, to understand that there is a deep negative connected to that. Because you see, when you're talking about the reflector, you cannot talk about the not-self. In the same way that you cannot talk about conditioning in the reflector, in the same way you talk about conditioning in anybody else. I mean, it's not a personal not-self that they have. It's a community not-self that they have. You know, they integrate all of these aspects impersonally. This cycle, it's the only place you can begin. When I was given the knowledge and I was explained how all of these things work, it was the one that I thought would be the absolutely most difficult to implement. You know, I could already see the dilemma of the projector that wouldn't be able to get instant gratification. But when I looked at the reflector and I thought, I mean, what am I going to say to these people? You know, you make a decision once a month, you know. I mean, it's like telling somebody to wait that Jesus is going to show up in the morning. I mean, why do you do that with somebody? It's insane. You know, look, you just wait a month and everything will be off, you know. But it's so powerful. I mean, that's the thing that's so incredible. You see, they are a programmed life. They're a programmed life. Like my little story about having no activations and being totally one with the program. This is their life. Their life isn't you, their mother, their lover, their friend, their brother. They have all of that and more. They have the program. I mean, one of the things that makes the not-self-reflector so dangerous is that they are the enforcers of most of the religions on the planet. Because they know in themselves that they are connected to something grand. You know? They are the pure servants of the program, and in the culture or civilization they belong to, that becomes translated into relative spirituality. I am a pillar of God's righteousness on this planet. I bow down and serve. See, they are one with the program. I mean, they are one with the consciousness field. Nobody else is. Yeah, they have their little unique take on it. But this is what they're about. And the only thing that gives them an opportunity to differentiate from another reflector is the circumstance of their geometry. I mean, think about what that means for a reflector to make a decision. You know, I mean, I try to deal as correctly as I can with reflectors in my life. If there's something that I'm interested in terms of my relationship with them, I will set it up and wait. You know, because I know that they have to go through this process. But you see, that moment of me and the reflector together is a moment in time and space. It is a movement, and it is a movement in which, as we fly in space, we meet each other in that moment. I mean, that's all it is. And then the reflector has to go through this journey. It's a journey. See, we think of time in an odd way. You know, morning to night. I think of time as movement. It's always movement. You see, for me, the reflector waiting out the cycle of the moon is like the emotional person waiting out their wave. There is all this information that is building in order to get to that place of clarity. And the thing to grasp about the reflector is that only in that geometry of the moment, it's that moment that establishes their unique potential. Otherwise, it doesn't exist. A reflector in a vacuum is dead. There is no life. They're not born for caves. They're here to interact with their community. And you see, the moment that something is presented to a reflector is actually a moment in time. It is a movement. It is a place that is unique. It is basic physics. No two objects can occupy the same place at the same time. And it's the unique start of that process that's their magic. It is the only thing that differentiates them. Nothing else. You see, decision-making for all of us is the holy grail of correctness. It is what we all seek, to make decisions correctly so that we can emerge as ourselves under our unique authority's guidance. That unique authority for the reflector can only emerge out of those moments of initiation, and it's those moments of initiation that establish a unique movement and reference point. From that point, you wait the cycle. From that point, no other point. It's what makes them different. You see, when I began to work with trying to educate the various types to their nature, when I dealt with reflector, and again, reflector, you know, I would do a 60-minute introduction and they'd get 5 minutes. You know, I do classes on type and they'd get a few minutes at the end, you know? And all I would put in there, all I could put in there for them was understanding this cycle. But it's everything. You see, it's the only way that they can begin to separate themselves from the program itself. It is the beginning of breaking the covenant, as it is for any of us who begin to make decisions correctly. Any of us. The difference is where I caution a projector that the other is the most important thing that they're ever going to have to think about, because it's the other that makes all the difference in their life. That a reflector can be surrounded by the Mormon Tabernacle Choir and it won't make a goddamn difference to their process. They don't have to worry about the other while they're going through their lunar cycle. It's all Teflon. But only when they are on that unique decision-making track do they define their own direction in this life. And because they are the quintessential open G, this direction is everything for them. Everything. You see, the way the program has designed the reflector, if I can put it that way, it's kind of odd, is that the reflector is able to be able to recognize anomalies as they emerge in their community. I mean, that's what they're for. See, a reflector in this environment is not functional, because everybody is trying to be abnormal. It's a kind of a reverse game here, you know? Here, it's a good time for them to be able to say, hey, there's somebody here who's trying to be normal. Let's get them out. You know, I see these normal people not living their design. Let's get them out. You know what I mean? The other side. This is not where they belong. They belong in the world of the dense not-self. You see, the moment reflectors are surrounding themselves by those that are abnormal is the moment that they lose their value. They do. See, the world is filled with all kinds of human beings who have never had a chance. There was never that shaman who walked in the door and said, give me this one because he's going to be... This is what we need. Because they're all out there. They're just waiting. Nobody can see them. Nobody's got the radar for it except the reflector. They're the only ones that can sense it. And they can't get to that place until they are absolutely correct in the way in which they move. And you can tell that they are the deepest non-energy type because it takes them a month to get their engine going, if I could put it that way. You know, it's a slow build-up process relative to us that are fast. But all of this is for the perfect alignment of their movement in space. Oh, what that means, to be in the right place. See, this is what correctness is about. See, when you honor your strategy and authority, what you get is that your vehicle, being guided by the vehicular intelligence, that the vehicle aligns you to your geometry. It just does. Your personality may not see where you've been taken, but you are in the right place. You are in the right movement. And it's only in that movement, in that correctness, that you end up where you belong. And for a reflector, because they are such a tiny slice, that they need to be distributed throughout the planet. They do. They're all over the place. Every 200 people or something like that, every 100 people is a reflector. You know. And for the reflector to be in the right place is everything. Everything. And they can only get there through that decision-making process. And then you enter into all of the social dilemmas of being a projector. When I talk about somebody who is, let's say, an emotional generator, you know, when I talk about the process of waiting and pushing people away and on and on and on, you know, all that, and how difficult it is for them to come to grips with, you know, having to reject somebody who's coming to them when they like them and this kind of stuff. But think about the pressure that is there for a reflector. You know, when you've got somebody that calls them up and says, hey, I would really like to do this with you, and what do you think? Well, call me next month. No, but the thing's next week. Yeah, well, I'm going to miss it. You know, it's not necessarily a comfortable thing to deal with the other in that way. I love you. I want to be with you. Yeah, talk to me next month. Let me check it out. I put it on my radar screen and see if that's all okay. We don't get that. The Brahmins, the Hindu Brahmins, they really got it, eh? They're moon freaks. I mean, if the Arabs were star freaks and the Babylonians were planet freaks, all the Brahmins, they were moon freaks. The moon was everything for them. The phases of the moon, you know, they have all of these things, you know, blah, blah, blah. I'm supposed to be wise, by the way, because I'm in the last phase of the moon. You know, they have all this stuff. They knew. More than that, they understood something very specific. For me, one of the deepest things that I've learned from the East is to understand the importance of the nodes of the moon. Because after all, the nodes are a trajectory of the moon. You cannot separate the moon from the nodes. And as we know, the nodes are about seeing, they're about movement, they're about our line, our geometry in this life. You see, reflectors are the eyes of the world. It's what they are. They are the ones that can see the whole thing. They're not good at trees, they're great at forests. And they can tell right away when something's wrong in the forest. This is what they are. I mean, you know, when you look at it from its exalted perspective, it's a delight. But you see, because the dilemma is so difficult, what parent says to their reflector child, clean up your room, and the child says, ask me next month. You're going to get beaten with a stick, you know? What do you mean, wait until next month? Well, I don't know if I really want to clean up my room. Yeah, but if we wait until next month, it's going to be pretty bad in there. Well, it doesn't work that way. You know the horror of when you're 5 or 6 years old and your family decides to abandon you and send you to an institution. You know, they call it kindergartens or daycares or whatever the hell it is. Oh, you know, if you're a generator, it's one thing, right? Developing aura, you know, okay. If you're a projector, you have a chance to focus on some different people. It could be okay. If you're a manifester, you hate it. Because they have leashes there too. But the reflector child, you know, that child being taken into that place and not being asked and not given the time to assess it. See, if you have a reflector child and you want to take that child to a school, you take that child to the school for a couple of days. Only a couple of days. You let them taste it. And then you take them out and you wait a month. And then you ask them, would you like to go to that school? What parent is ready to do that? They don't know any better. It's not like it's their fault. But when you think about what it is to raise a reflector, what kind of awareness is necessary. I mean, I joked before about my reflector recruiting process. The truth is, I know that the best shot we have with reflectors are reflector babies with aware parents who will finally give them the respect they deserve, and so they should. I mean, now that you understand what they're here for, you can understand that it's a beautiful thing to raise one correctly. It really is. And to recognize how difficult it is for the unaware parent to raise their reflector child. They don't get it. They don't know how to work at that level. They don't even know what it means. They don't. They can't reach it. I mean, I thought it was difficult for my mother to have a manifestor son. You know, because this is such a difficult aura. But to have a reflector child sliding off you, and all you want to do is hold on to them and you cannot. You know, the psychological relationship of the parent to its reflector child is one full of dilemmas. Because nobody's taught them. They don't understand. Again, this is not about blame. It's about ignorance. But you see, I'm beginning to understand many things about the times we are in. This end of the time of the cross of planning. Our educational system. I mean, tomorrow and Sunday, I'm going to be looking at the two kinds of minds that we have. Perhaps one of the most important things that's emerged out of studies in human design. The difference between the left and the right-minded. We are dealing in a time in which there's enormous changes that must take place in the way in which we educate our young. And that means that that is not something, because this is not messianic, it is not something where you can wait for this to become institutionalized. It will not be institutionalized. The cross of planning is coming to an end. This is about parents understanding how to raise their children, about people understanding how to help parents guide their children to their correctness. The education and raising of a reflector is something totally, totally different. Totally different. See, a reflector needs to grasp one thing at a time. Think about that. It's a 30-day process or whatever. I'm just rounding off the numbers. One thing at a time. This is how they master anything. It's why the beauty of that decision and its timetable. One thing at a time. And you see, they are able to process one thing in a way that nobody else can. They process it through this enormous movement in space. We travel at 425,000 kilometers an hour in space. Think about that. That's our relative speed moving around the galaxy. 425,000 kilometers an hour, and it takes them 30 days. You know how far we've moved? I mean, you cannot even imagine that distance. Millions and millions and millions of kilometers in space. And that movement in space is all new information pouring through. And as they move through their process, they are guided by the moon. They're guided by the moon. Any reflector that wants to have a Bible should look at the ancient writings on lunar phases. It's profound. It is something to grasp. Each movement of the moon is unique and special because it too takes place in a different time and space. And for the reflector, it is the moon and the way it filters the neutrino stream that defines it. Each phase carries its own formula for grasping. No one is deeper. No one can assess an environment more profoundly than a reflector. Nobody can deal with a decision with greater depth than a reflector. But the time. You have to take the time. See, in the decision-making sense, generators have the slowest life. And reflectors have the fastest life. You know? I mean, a reflector gets to make a decision every lunar cycle. By the way, whether they notice that or not, I mean, they're on an endless cycle. And it compresses their life. It does. You know, what it takes me a millisecond to decide takes them nearly 30 days. We live in a different world. See, I've always been aware of the fact that I'm a very superficial being. I am. I'm a splenic ego manifester. I'm right here on the surface. Everything about this life for me is the surface. The depth you assume I have is only my outer authority. It's just the thing that comes out of my mouth when I open it. But in fact, I have no access to it. I cannot sit alone and muse. I don't. I don't even think. I'm not a thinker. I don't ponder. Just a frequency in the moment. That's superficial. You know? I mean, I don't mind being the stone glancing off the side of the reflector. I sort of like being that stone. But the reflector, the depth of that, not only the depth, you see, we think if you take somebody who's emotional and you say, yes, they got depth in terms of going through their wave, but it's always the same them. I mean, it's always the same definition. It's always the same person. It's always the same activation. Not the reflector. Not at all. It's the moon. To watch the moon as it clicks those gates. Hey, wow. It's just the moon. My most profound experience after the voice. I didn't know what to make of all of this. And I had to see for myself whether I was just absolutely crazy or not. So, in a very crude way, I devised a lunar ephemeris so I could watch the moon affect my own design. And I'm open emotionally. And it was in January. And in January and February, there were all these perfect placements of the planets. The moon, the sun, and Mercury were all about to go through gates that were either going to activate my solar plex system. I think there were 5 different possibilities for activating my solar plexus. And the first one that I watched hit was the moon. I'm a 49th gate. It's the only gate I have in the solar plexus. Unconscious. The moon went into the 19th gate. It's one of the most profound experiences I've ever had. I couldn't believe it. I really couldn't believe it. I could feel it. I mean, I could actually feel it. I could feel the channel opening up. I could feel my emotions. I could feel my sister, who is in 1949. And I hadn't thought about her in a decade. And suddenly I could feel her in my body. I was stunned. You know, I was a nihilist. I mean, I wasn't somebody that was some kind of new age, whatever. I couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe that this object, this cold, dead thing in the sky, was making me feel so emotional. It was absolutely extraordinary. It was the beginning of my journey of understanding that the body graph was more than a body graph. It was a portal to the gods. I mean, I learned how to meet all of them. I mean, I have a real relationship with the planets. I mean, it's real. They program me, I program them. We meet, we talk. They become part of my body. You see, a reflector is in touch with the gods. I mean, they are. I mean, this is what it is. And for them, the moon is where they bow down. Because it's everything. I mean, it's everything. Something interesting to think about mystically. Many of you know that according to the cosmology that I was given, that we are coming to the Yang. That the yang-yang of the four variations, yang-yang, yin-yang, yang-yin, yin-yin, that the yang-yang is to be eliminated. I was told that all of this is one living thing. I was also told that it's female. Oh, yin. Female is not really the right word for that. See, in the tradition, the moon is the eldest daughter. She is the delight of the father and the horror of the mother. The reflector serves the child. It serves the totality. It serves this great force. I mean, it is the force that I serve. That is, I serve the mother. I serve the yin. I serve form principle. But the future is not the mother's future. It's the eldest daughter's future. She is the one that is going to inherit the kingdom. It's why I so love solar eclipses, when the moon steps in front of the sun and you can see the future. Eh? Whenever there's a solar eclipse, I see the future. And reflectors, you know, this is their holy task. It is to awaken to their service. It's this unique service. It is a service to the totality. And remember something about the nature of the totality. Homogenization is not something that will ever be destroyed. It will never be replaced. But within all of this, there is room for those who are ready, always. And without reflectors, the most difficult ones to find will never be found. They just won't. And so every time you have a chance to do a reading for someone who is a reflector, to know a parent that has a reflector child, do whatever you can to make sure that they understand. So that that child has a shot, you know, of being able to be of service to those who are ready to awaken. It is something very, very important. And it's also something to recognize in the reflectors around you. It's time to tell them the truth. I know that now. You know, it's time to tell them that their not self role is not truly what they are here for. And nor is that to the betterment of humanity. It is not. I don't think it's going to make it that much easier, quite frankly. But I think that for certain reflectors, to understand that will open up the possibility of being able to change their lives. You know, I'd like to see a few more on the team. It would be a good thing. Okay, that's it for today. Beaumont. I'm just going to be having a meeting around here, so when you're done, could you upload it to my computer?
I will.
Yeah, thanks.